This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. Some of the strongest opponents of nuclear proliferation have been the very people who built the bombs. One of them, nuclear physicist Theodore Taylor, died last week at the age of 79. Dr. Taylor designed atomic weapons at Los Alamos from 1948 to 56, but he ultimately turned against all nuclear technology. He told the writer John McPhee, "If it were possible to wave a wand and make fission impossible, fission of any kind, I would quickly wave the wand." Physicist Freeman Dyson was a friend and colleague of Theodore Taylor. He describes Taylor's gifts as a weapons designer.
He was an artist. I mean, other people did big calculations, and he just drew sketches. And as a result, his bombs were much more elegant. They were smaller and more efficient. He just had a very clear feeling for shapes and sizes of things, like a sculptor, more or less.
You worked with Theodore Taylor later at General Atomics on something called the Orion Project.
Yes.
I wonder if you could describe a bit about what that was.
Yeah, well, that was a spaceship. Orion started, I think, at the end of 1957, and it was the idea to propel a big spaceship through the sky with nuclear bombs. So you just had a big supply of bombs on board the ship, threw them out at the back one after another, and they go bang, 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 and up you go. Sounds sort of crazy, but it seemed to work. But of course, we never actually flew it, and we didn't really come close.
Did Theodore Taylor have grand visions about space exploration?
Oh, yes, we really intended to go. For us, it all was quite real. We were planning to be the first crew.
Well, what happened to the Orion Project?
Oh, in the end, it got canceled because the test ban treaty in 1963 was essentially the death of it, because if you couldn't test, then you couldn't fly.
Theodore Taylor ultimately turned against nuclear weapons and nuclear power. Did he explain to you how that transformation in his thinking came about?
Oh, yes. After he'd been at General Atomic with this spaceship, he then became what was called, I think, deputy director of DASA, Defense Atomic Support Agency, which was part of the Defense Department. And he was then responsible for the bomb stockpiles and various other aspects of nuclear weapons. So he began to get the sort of the big picture of what a monstrous thing it was. We had now, by that time, tens of thousands of bombs in the stockpile, and many of them in very dangerous places scattered all over the world. And if any fighting had started, it was very likely that nuclear weapons would have got involved. And then he also wandered around the United States and found how insecure the management of all these dangerous weapons was, that they were often left lying around insecured. And so he got more and more disgusted with the whole thing and came to the conclusion that, in fact, most of the benefits of nuclear energy, such as they were, weren't worth the dangers. And so he spent the rest of his life, more or less, as a nuclear activist, not only fighting against nuclear things, also developing renewable energy, which he enjoyed very much, and some of these schemes he had were actually very good.
In his later years, did you talk to him? Did he have any thoughts about nuclear proliferation now, say, as opposed to during the height of the Cold War? Did he feel that the world was safer or less safe?
Oh, certainly safer. I mean, there's no question. I mean, we had discussed in the 50s what were the prospects for nuclear proliferation. We all thought there'd be about 50 countries with nuclear bombs by the end of the century. And in fact, there are only 8. So in many ways, the world is much safer than we expected, but still not safe enough.
Freeman Dyson, professor emeritus at the Institute for Advanced Study in Princeton, remembering his friend Theodore Taylor. Dr. Taylor died last Thursday. He was 79.